Moncrief on News Talk.
Back in the days when it was against the law to be gay, there were pubs and clubs, particularly in Dublin, where people could go and feel a degree of safety. Hannah Flam is a journalist who's been writing about this in gay community news. It was also the subject of Hannah's master's dissertation. Hannah, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Back in like the 70s or 80s, how did a gay pub become a gay pub? By which I mean, the Viking had gay owners, but other venues, did people kind of gradually migrate there? Was it a kind of an organic process?
I had the same question with a lot of my interviewees. Like, for example, even with the Viking, you know, I asked someone, how did you know that it was a gay bar? How did you know that someone was opening a gay pub? And he just kind of responded like, word of mouth, you know,
yeah.
One person gets hold of it and then the next day everyone knows and shows up.
Yeah.
So sometimes a lot of it was that. I mean, even prior to the Viking, for example, which stood where Brogan's is now, right next to Three Olympia, there were a good number of pubs that were kind of word of mouth gay. I mean, there were bars like Bartley Dunn's and Rice's on the corner of St. Stephen's Green that everyone knew, you know, was gay, even though the owners might.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Know. Bartley Dunn's was always like, no, we're not.
But if you went in, there's this great article in maybe in 1994 Gay Community News written by someone who described Friday and Saturday nights at Bartley Dunn's as a melange of, you know, color and high camp, which just to then turn around and be like, no, this isn't a gay bar. And then if you walk in on a Friday or Saturday and you see that, it's just so funny to me.
Yeah. Now, and were they generally speaking safe places in that, you know, and these were in the days when homosexuality was illegal, that there was never any, you know, danger from the guards arriving or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, this is also just, you know, from the 15 interviews that I did with people and from other sources, it didn't really seem like there were a ton of raids into these bars, any more than other bars. You never really heard about the kind of raids that happened in Stonewall, for example. Mm. It didn't seem to be as much of a violent problem.
Yeah. And as in many, many areas of life, did it, you know, once a gay bar was established, what did it tend to be a male gay bar that lesbians had to go off and look for their own place?
Definitely. So, you know, kind of when you refer to a gay bar, they often are male, like you said. For instance, the next article in my series with Gay Community News is actually going to focus on JJ Smith's, which was a pub down where the Thomas More Inn is on Angier Street right now. And they used to have a top floor lounge that later became a jazz bar, I guess. But on Thursdays and Saturday nights, kind of throughout the 80s and 90s, it turned into the place to be for lesbians. So they did. They absolutely created their own spaces against a lot of the male-focused gay bars and gay spaces that were able to be built, you know, men with generally more capital than women. And like, the pub has historically been a male space. So it was much easier for gay men. I don't want to say it's easy by any means, but, you know, to have a space for men was much easier than a public space in a bar for women.
Yeah. You also include this, it's a lovely story about Frank McCann, who was the barman in the Viking, but his mother didn't know he was gay.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it was really heartbreaking. I mean, it was in Cowan. What was...
he was from Cowan.
The actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was just a story told about, you know, Frank McCann, who was the bartender in The Viking, and he knew that his mom was coming from Cavan to visit him at work at this gay bar, and he asked all of his, you know, very obviously gay and lesbian friends to, you know, butch up or woman up for the night when his mom was visiting. And they did, and they pretended to be boyfriend and girlfriend with each other just to save, you know, his face to his family, which on one hand is like such a beautiful story of this community that he was able to forge with his regulars and his, you know, his friends, and all understanding exactly what kind of pressure they were under.
Mm.
But on the other hand, that really deep sadness of having to, like, they all understood the intensity of this fear that your family would find out who you really were, you know, in Dublin.
Mm. Yeah, so, it's kind of sad, but also really sweet at the same time.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of a mixture of those things. Hannah, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Hannah Flam there, a writer for Gay Community News.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.